This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shao Ning and Chuang. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having The Breakfast Grill, where I will be speaking with Tian Chet Chai, who's the executive director of Reservoir Link. Now, you'll be wondering what they do. It's basically a company that's braving the difficult markets, the challenging COVID-19 environment, to list on this ACE market this month. So I'm going to be speaking to the executive director, Mr. Tian, on their rationale for the IPO. How did they derive the valuation? And of course, how they plan to navigate this uncertainty in oil markets when prices are so volatile.
Yeah, of course, the last few weeks have been good for oil markets, but on a year-to-date basis, still down by over 30%.
Yeah.
So they're very brave to come out.
Yeah, you'd be wondering what kind of valuations they'll get, right? How receptive. But actually, the books have closed, so and the shares were oversubscribed.
Well, it's an ACE market listing, right? So that means it's a high growth issue. So there should be some growth in there.
Yeah. Meanwhile, let's look at elections that are happening in Singapore this Friday, because campaigning has entered full swing. But of course, with COVID-19, everything has become the new normal, and election campaigns have been almost exclusively online. Now, candidates have been having live broadcasts on YouTube and Zoom.
Well, some people expect the PAP to win, a procession essentially. But some people have also said that social media may level the playing field somewhat, especially since big rallies and on-the-ground campaigning has always been a strength of the PAP. So will the digital landscape be different this time around for the PAP?
Yeah, so for some insight on this, we have on the line with us Nidia Niao, who's Senior Director from Bauer Group Asia. Good morning. Thank you for joining us on the line. Now, I want to ask the first question is, how would you characterize social media, as they say, the leveler of the playing field in this elections?
Good morning, and thank you for having me on today. So I think in terms of social media being a sort of a leveler, we see this as sort of a double-edged sword. So while it can definitely help the smaller parties, especially the opposition, reach out to a wider audience directly through online and social media, the substantial resources and platforms already available for the People's Action Party, you know, still renders them a substantial advantage in terms of, you know, professionally run social media pages, online channels, the sheer number of PAP member of parliaments that actually dominate the online space, which will provide, you know, this sort of message amplification. So online campaigning may also lead to echo chambers, in this case, online and social media outreach to wider audience may actually be a little bit limited. But at the same time, you know, we see the rollout of the Protection of Online Falsehoods and Manipulation Act in Singapore also serves as a legislative and regulatory lever on defining the terms of debate perceived to be in favor of the PAP. But at the same time, on the other hand, you know, we see how online campaigning has allowed voters, especially the younger and first-time voters, to really access and understand opposition candidates, particularly some of the older ones from oppositions, like, for instance, Mr. Tan Cheng Bock, who has really gained new followers while trying to leverage social media. And we've seen cases on both the ruling party side as well as the Workers' Party, where we've seen that, you know, social media really doesn't discriminate between parties when it comes to candidates' background and past online footprint. So in that sense, you know, we've seen how PAP has had to withdraw a candidate just because of backlash in terms of what people have been said online. And also with the Workers' Party more recently, you know, there was a police report lodged against a candidate from the Workers' Party as well for past remarks made online. So in a way, the social media can be seen as a leveler, as, you know, we've seen that potential backlash really doesn't discriminate between political parties in that sense.
That's right. You obviously, Nidia, refer to Risa Khan, a 26-year-old investigator for criminal offences. Of course, this charge also comes in the wake of the Singapore High Court's decision to ban certain websites for streaming as well as other, you know, inflammatory kind of content. Does this dovetail and what does it mean for the election campaigning period?
I think, you know, what this means is really that parties need to be very focused about what they're saying online. This has also led to the question of whether or not if you are to be a candidate or if you are going to be put up for elections, do you then have to wipe your social media accounts to make sure that, you know, you are squeaky clean? Because when we look at the Reza Khan issue, we're looking at remarks that were made, you know, 2 years ago, right? If we look at how Ivan Lim's remarks were made about him that really span from the time when he was 18 all the way to now. So, you know, where do we draw the line? In terms of this, you know, we do have the PoFMA law, which has, you know, really been imposed in the past week, really, in terms of correction directions that several opposition parties and supporters and individuals linked to the opposition has to take. And in fact, it, you know, we've also seen PoFMA issue an order against Channel News Asia, which is the first on any mainstream media outlet. And what is interesting to note is that during this time, when Parliament has been dissolved, what this means is that, you know, ministers are no longer the ones that are issuing these correction directions, but it's really during this period, we see that the authority is being held by top civil servants in the various government ministries. So technically, this should help ensure the application of the law remains objective and prevent claims that, you know, the ruling party is using it for its own gain.
But, you know, recently, Hwa Chong Institution, which is a notable school in Singapore, told students that social media was not a suitable platform for them to be discussing their views on national issues, especially during the election period. So does this reflect how Singaporeans in general view the medium? How have they reacted to this development?
I think specifically to the Hwa Chong issue, I think while it took up, you know, news cycles for the day, it didn't really gain a lot of traction, especially because especially after the school came out to explain that, you know, it did not want its students who actually would not be allowed to vote until they're a bit older from being swept up by agendas that are beyond their control. But I don't think that this is necessarily how Singaporeans view social media and also how Singaporeans look at discussing their views. I think given the whole COVID-19 situation, it really is... social media is really where Singaporeans will have to discuss their views on national issues. And also given that the amount of PoFMA directions that we have seen issued to Facebook as well as users on there, you know, I think it's clear that, you know, this is not the case in Singapore where actually people are going online to discuss their views because there is no other platform for them to have this kind of discussions.
So broadly, what are the main issues that have come up in the debates?
I think, as you can tell, and which is probably the case for a lot of the countries these days, you know, COVID-19 has really come to the forefront. But in addition, you know, we've seen the issue of jobs be feature quite dominantly in the debates, as well as the issue of population sizes. So, for instance, in the last debate that was held last week, we've seen actually quite an interesting exchange between the ruling party, PAP, and the Singapore Democratic Party, where basically the Singapore Democratic Party accused the PAP of wanting to, you know, look to prepare Singapore for a population of 10 million people. And so that was something that really went back and forth for quite a bit. In terms of, you know, wanting to ensure that Singapore doesn't become too crowded or too dense. Clearly, that is something that is, you know, of great importance for us, given the small size of the country. And, you know, we also see opposition parties talking about the need for checks and balances and how it is important that, you know, Singaporean voters do not give a blank check to PAP. And that is really a phrase that has really caught on and has really been amplified through social media as well.
Okay, thank you for your time today, Nidia. That was Nidia Ngiao, Senior Director from Bauer Group Asia. Do you think online media is the great leveler? I still don't think so. And her point is true. Whoever has the money can hire the best minds to come up with the slickest online media campaign. And that, of course, is the incumbent, PAP.
Yeah, it's amplification, isn't it, of what is already known. And in times of uncertainty, it's very much always a case of better the devil you know, the devil you don't.
Yeah, but you know, we're heading to some messages, and then we'll be back with we'll be speaking to Datuk Shamsuddin Badan, President of Malaysia Employers Federation on Foreign Workers. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.